This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. We are still on our journey of talking about the various pillars of Iman. Iman is based on 70 odd branches. And today's branch is going to cover our first action-based branch. Hitherto, we've been talking about branches that are in the heart. And we're going to come back to some of those as well. But Iman is also that which is manifested in the limbs. And today, we're going to talk about one of the pillars of Iman, one of the branches of Iman that is mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah in a lot of detail. And this branch, believe it or not, it might shock some of you or surprise some of you, because many of us don't consider this as a branch of Iman. And yet it is, by explicit text of the hadith, a branch of Iman. And that is the branch that we know as wudu. Wudu. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-tahuru shatrul Iman." Doing wudu is half of Iman. Now, this hadith is commonly mistranslated as purity is half of Iman. And it is not an accurate translation, because the word tahur here does not mean only purity. It's a specific type of purity. And the purity that the hadith is talking about is the purity of wudu. And this is demonstrated because the word tahur is used in other hadith to indicate wudu. So this hadith should be translated as performing ablutions is half of Iman. At-tahuru shatrul Iman. Our scholars commented on this, that how come wudu, which seems to be so trivial, has been made half of Iman? And the response is very simple. Who does wudu? When do we do wudu? What is the purpose of wudu? The wudu is the key that unlocks the salah, correct? The only people who do wudu regularly are the ones who pray. Now, the people who pray are the ones who establish all of the other arkan of Islam. There are plenty of people who don't pray and they'll fast Ramadan. There are plenty of people who don't pray, they will go for Hajj. They don't pray, they might give some money to the poor. But it is inconceivable that a person prays 5 times a day and he doesn't fast Ramadan without an excuse. The one who prays automatically fulfills all of the other arkan, and that is the real experience that all of us have. The one who's a regular musalli, namazi, the one who's always praying, that's the one who's fasting Ramadan, going for Hajj, giving zakah, and therefore the indication of all of this is the wudu. Because the one who regularly performs the wudu will be the one who is doing all of the arkan. So it is correct to say, At-tahuru shatrul iman. Doing wudu is half of all Iman. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in another hadith, Muslim Imam Ahmad, "Istaqimu, keep in the path and try your best to get to the end. Walan tuhsu, you're never going to be perfect. And know that of the best of your deeds is the salah. And no one protects the wudu except for the mu'min." Once again, wudu and mu'min, Iman, are linked together. No one protects the wudu except the mu'min. What does it mean, protect the wudu? It means that the person wishes to be in the state of wudu as much as possible. Most of us, we're struggling to pray 5 times a day. The only time we do wudu, when we stand up to pray. And that's fine, alhamdulillah, that's Islam. But we said Islam, Iman, Ihsan. The more we want to be in the state of wudu, the more this is an indication that we want to be close to Allah in a purified state. And that's why, وَلَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَى الْوُضُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. Only the mu'min will make hifaz or protect the wudu. Only the mu'min, every time the mu'min breaks the wudu, they're going to feel, you know what, I'm not in a good state, I want to go do wudu. Even if it's not the time of salah, they're just going to do wudu to feel pure. The famous hadith, we've all heard of it. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a dream, he goes up. Some say it happened in Isra al-Miraj as well, and some say it's a dream. Both are valid opinions. And he heard the footsteps of Bilal. When he came back down, or when he woke up, he said, "Oh Bilal, I heard the footsteps, your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah. I heard your footsteps ahead of me. What is the one deed that you think that because of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that honor. So Bilal radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I can't think of anything except that every time I break my wudu, I go do wudu again, and I pray 2 rak'ah nafil, just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just, it's not something that has to be done, by the way, understand, it's not wajib, it's not fard. But Bilal, he always wanted to be in the state of wudu. And every time he would use the restroom, every time he would break his wudu, he would feel, I'm not in a good state, I want to go to wudu. Once he did wudu, he just prayed 2 rak'ah nafil. And he said, that's the only thing I can think of, Ya Rasulullah. So this is why Bilal's footsteps were heard by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another hadith in Tirmidhi, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed a complete and full wudu. And we all know, and if you don't know, you should look up online. I've also given a class on wudu. He performed a full ablution, 3 times all the limbs, and making sure everything was touched. And then he said, whoever performs wudu like this wudu of mine, man tawadda'a mithla wudu'i hadha, which is the perfect wudu. Whoever does wudu like this wudu of mine, then he stands up and prays 2 rak'ah without any whisperings coming. In other words, concentration with those 2 rak'ah, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. So this is a beautiful technique, a beautiful gift that our Prophet ﷺ has given us. You want your sins forgiven? All you have to do wudu, a perfect wudu, and pray 2 rak'ah in which you concentrate. Don't think of anything else. And then ask Allah for forgiveness. And our Prophet ﷺ also said, should I not tell you of those deeds that cause your sins to be forgiven and your ranks to be raised in Jannah? They said, yes. He said, number one, إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ, doing wudu in difficult circumstances. We'll explain what this means. Number two, كَثْرَةَ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ, lots of footsteps to the masjid, which means you're always going to the mosque. You're always a regular at the mosque. Number three, انْتِظَارُ الصَّلَوَاتِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَوَاتِ, waiting for the salah. In other words, you just wait for the imam. And you, the only reason you're in the masjid, you're just waiting for Isha. Otherwise, you'd be at home. You're waiting until the imam comes, and then you pray, and then you leave. So you're waiting in the masjid for the salah. He said, ذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ ذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ ذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ, that is jihad in the way of Allah. These three things. Number one, perfecting wudu at times of difficulty. Our scholars say the classic example of this is having to do wudu at Fajr time when the water is cold. It's a very difficult time. Of us, we are all luxurious. We turn on the hot water. We wait for 3 minutes, 5 minutes until the water is hot. We don't even have that. And we're still, you know, a little bit, you know, finicky and a little bit awkward, because once we put the water, it's still cold in the atmosphere. But imagine, once upon a time, the Sahaba would have to crack the ice on top of the bucket. And they'd have to put their hand inside of that bucket while the wind is blowing, while the cold wind is blowing. In that point in time, itmamul wudu, isbagh, making sure every part of the body is touching that water. And I have experienced this a few times in my life, the cold of Medina, between Mecca and Medina, multiple times I've had to do wudu with nothing but a jug of water. And it is not something that you look forward to doing. It's actually a very, very difficult thing. And this is what the Prophet is saying, that your love of Allah is so much, at that point in time, you are more eager to perfect the wudu. إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءُ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ, these things are equated to striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another beautiful hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once visited Baqi'. It's a very emotional hadith as well, and I want you to memorize it. Beautiful hadith. And he made dua for the people of Baqi'. And then he said, how I wish I could see my brothers, my ikhwani. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brethren? And he said, no, you are my Sahaba, antum ashabi. My brethren are those who are going to come after you. They've never seen me. And they would give up all that they own just to see me once. May Allah make us amongst those who love the Prophet that much. That's my brethren. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, how will you recognize them on Judgment Day? How will you know the brother? You know Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, you know Bilal, you know us. How will you recognize your brethren on Judgment Day? So he said, don't you see if one of you has a beautiful horse that is ghur and muhajjal? And ghur is the horse that has that white strip on its forehead. And across the world, and I'm not a horse owner, I'm not into horses. Yet when I see such a horse, I'm like, wow, that's a beautiful horse. You have that white streak in the middle. This is called ghur. Muhajjal is the horse that at the very bottom of its limbs, there is that white streak as well, or the bottom tip above the foot is white as well. And this was the most beautiful type of horse. That is the Arabian stallion, the Arabian horse that has that white strip in the middle. It's a dark horse. It has that white strip and its limbs, two, three, four of its limbs, are white stripped on top of the hoof. So this is muhajjal. So he said, if one of you had one of those stallions, that's ghur muhajjal, and it was in a whole flock of horses, couldn't you recognize that one stallion in all of those horses? They said, of course. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوءِ. My ummah will come. All of them will have those bright faces and those bright limbs from the effects of the wudu. This means, O Muslims, the only way that our Nabi and our Rasul will recognize you and me out of the billions of people on Judgment Day, to call us to drink from his fountain, to call us to drink from the Hawd, to call us so that we can be under his Shafa'ah, the only way will be through the wudu. If we do not have the effects of wudu, then our Nabi will not recognize us. What a loss that is. So my ummah will come ghurran muhajjaleen from the effects of the wudu. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also recommended a dua after we make wudu. He said, whoever perfects the wudu, whoever does wudu with itmam, and again, with itmam doesn't mean sloppy slush, just throw water on the face, we don't care where it's going. No, this is a big mistake, brothers and sisters. And I speak especially to our youngsters and even to our elders. When we do wudu, that means every part of the body that water is supposed to touch, it must touch it. We don't just splash some water here and there and that's it. No, wherever the water is required to touch, and that's the fiqh of wudu, but basically all the way to the elbows, the entire face, wiping of the head, obviously the feet up until the ankles, all of the feet has to touch the water. That includes between the toes as well. So our Prophet said, whoever perfects the wudu, does it with itmam, and then he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. Simple dua. If you don't know it, look it up. It's a simple dua. اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. Make me amongst those who repent and those who are pure. Whoever says this after perfecting the wudu, all 8 doors of Jannah will be flung open for him. All 8 doors of Jannah will be flung open for him. What a simple deed to do to get that great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is wudu is the key that opens up all of the other rituals. The one who does wudu is the righteous Muslim who is praying, who wants to be pure. And by the way, the same applies to janabah as well. The mu'min does not remain in janabah for a long period of time. You can't. Maximum is like 12 hours. You have to pray fajr. You cannot remain in janabah for a long period of time. And that's why our Prophet being the perfect person that he was, he would never even go to sleep in the state of janabah, even though it is halal and you can do ghusl at fajr time, no problem. But he being who he was, he would never sleep in that state without at least doing a wudu, without some type of purification. Then he would go to sleep, even though it is halal. You don't have to do ghusl until the next salah. So basically, you cannot remain in the state of janabah. You cannot remain outside of wudu for long periods of time. And the mu'min wants to be in the state of wudu as much as possible. To conclude, we'll summarize by saying that wudu is half of faith. Wudu purifies our sins. Wudu raises our ranks. Wudu opens the door for Jannah. Wudu protects us from the fire of hell. And wudu is the most important mechanism through which our Nabi and our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize us on Judgment Day. And so we had better make sure that we are perfecting our wudu and perfecting that which comes after it, which is the salah and the other deeds. And inshallah ta'ala, we will continue later. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.